now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from class to cult, so a little cheese in between. The movies are baby, entertainment is grade A, and I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and I'm back. This time, I'm talking about 2025's Bone Lake. Yes, that movie that people have been kind of jibber-jabbering about, but yes, Bone Lake, I'm going to talk about it, and I'll get to it right after this.
When Will saw this house on the app, he thought Bone Lake was a euphemism.
Yeah, I thought it was called Bone Lake because it's a secluded place where people
don't
come
to
bone.
It.
Yeah, I thought that.
Great minds.
Male minds.
Sorry. Do you guys like to play games?
Everywhere you go and everyone you meet is playing together.
We have this house for the weekend.
Seems like we also booked this house.
It was supposed to be just us, and now we're with strangers.
She's pretty.
So is he. So are you.
Think this is an opportunity to prove your love
before the weekend is through.
But if you leave now, there are things about us and each other that you're never gonna know.
It seems like someone wanted all of us here.
Love is kind of like a game of chess. Want to know what happens if you lose?
Bone Lake debuted at the Fantastic Fest September 21st, 2024, and it actually was released October 3rd, 2025, with a 94-minute running time. Your director here is Mercedes Bryce Morgan. Now, this Mercedes Bryce Morgan, she is known for doing another film called Fixation, and Bone Lake is pretty much the big one that a lot of people know her for. She's, you know, an up-and-coming kind of director. Did a bunch of short films and some episodes of TV shows, stuff like that. But she is, and some music videos, but this is pretty much what she's known for. Your writer here is Joshua Freelander. Producers, Mickey Liddell, Pete Shalanam, said it wrong, Jacob Yacob, Joshua Freelander, and Jason Bloomfield. And your stars here are Maddie Hansen. Now, Maddie Hansen is known as Willa Monday on the Fox TV series The Finder, and it co-starred on the ABC Family series The Twisted, and is in a Netflix series. Alex Rowe is a British actor, and he's known for the playing Jay Keaton in the series The Fugitives, and he was in The Cut, and he was also in films like Hot Summer Nights, Rings, and Forever My Girl. And then you have Andrea Nicotetta and Marco Pigasso. Marco is a Brazilian actor, and he's known for Australian TV and some Brazilian series. So there's no one in this movie that you know. That's basically what I'm getting at, right? There's a bunch of people you don't know, a director you probably never heard of, people you never, whatever. It was put out by LD Entertainment, distributed by Bleecker Street. The budget I don't have, but it made supposedly $1.4 million in box office. Now, with that being said, this movie was never going to be a big time success, just because, I mean, it's an erotic thriller at its core, but it's you know, kind of a horror movie and stuff. But a lot of people, the opening scene here features two naked people running through the woods for their life. And then it features some genitalia trauma that is like, I haven't seen something like that in a while, especially not a movie that actually came to the movie theaters, because usually you got to watch movies like Pieces or like, or some Italian kind of thing, that kind of stuff. But I kind of know it's coming. It's kind of the main point of the whole movie. It opens with it. So, but anyway, all right, so let's get rolling here. So couple Sage and Diego arrive at a large lakeside country house they've rented for the weekend. Sage has recently taken an editing job to support Diego so he can pursue a full-time writing career, and the two plan to celebrate before Diego begins working on his novel. Let me just stop there for a second. So I can honestly tell you that there's clearly something going on between Sage and Diego. I mean, obviously they're in love and all that other stuff, right? But the idea, though, that she seems to be very resentful of him, she having to work to support him because he was a professor and now he's stepping away from that. There's a lot of stuff that goes in there. And again, for those of you who are not in, maybe you're not married or maybe you haven't been in long-term relationships over that, as somebody who's been married for a long time, 100%, I saw it immediately and I was like, oh, that lady is not happy with that dude. So anyway, where are we? Shortly after arriving, Sage and Diego are met by two outgoing couple, Will and Sin, who also booked the house. Realizing the house has been double booked, Sage and Diego agreed to spend the weekend sharing the house with Will and Sin. And at that point there, you know it's a bad idea. Now, if you're not a horror person, and I watched this by myself, so my wife didn't watch it with me, you might think like, oh, this is going to turn into like a porno. And let's be honest, a lot of pornos could start this way. The acting is, and it's shot better than most old school pornos. The acting is better than that also. But it 100% starts turning that way out, except if you hadn't seen the beginning where the guy got shot through the, with an arrow. And then you're thinking like, oh, that ain't going to end well, because I have, and again, I am not quite the connoisseur of that stuff, those types of movies, but I can guarantee you, if you opened a movie that is supposed to be like pornographic in nature, with a guy getting shot through that with an arrow, and a lady taking it in her too, that is not going to probably get people in the mood for whatever else you might want, except that now they're getting things there. Anywho. The couple spends the day swimming in Bone Lake. Yes, they make reference to the fact it's called Bone Lake, as that they go up there to bone and stuff. Yes, this is this is probably the most bluest content you've ever heard on Bots, Bugs, and Babe, folks. And cooking. Will recounts how, beginning in 1950s, an unknown serial killer used Bone Lake as a dumping site for victims. Sin and Will make some sexual advances against Diego and Sage, respectively. Will discovers Diego plans to propose to Sage over the weekend with his grandmother's wedding ring. Later that night, Will and Sin suggest the couples break into a series of locked rooms that they found in the house. In one, they discover various sex toys and a sex swing, and exactly, is exactly what you thought was going to be in there. In the other room, they find a Ouija board and several newspaper clippings about the disappearance that have occurred around the lake. And they never get to the third room. Which, because you're like, well, okay, well, of course they didn't get to the third room. But as a horror fan, I immediately go, that third room's important. There's something in there. That's where the twist is going to be. That's how we're going to find out who the real killers are. Because, spoiler alert, I knew from jump that one of these couples had got to be the bunch of killers. Right. Now, I assumed it was going to be the Will and Sin, because they kind of showed up at And the other two are what they are going to be. But be that as it may. Anyway, where are we? Following morning at breakfast, Will unexpectedly proposes to Sin using Diego's grandmother's ring, which he has stolen. Diego confronts him privately, and Will apologizes, claiming that Sin is cheating on him, and he stole the ring out of desperation. Diego reveals that Sage cheated on him earlier into the relationship, and that he sympathizes. Now, the problem is, the stuff that Diego gives away about his relationship with Sage, I'm not sure if I'm just too old that I wouldn't be talking about this stuff with people I don't know. You know, is that really something you really want to discuss with these people? I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they're in the idea that in the throes of where they are, maybe they feel like they need to do that stuff. I'm not 100% sure, but that for me, it was like, okay, dude, shut up. Just shut up. Just shut your mouth, you know, kind of thing. Will promises to return the ring before the weekend ends. Sage accompanies Will into town to buy groceries, during which he says Diego told him he had caught Sage in the bathtub she was doing things in the bathtub that may not be appropriate for all ages on Bots, Bugs, and Babes. And that Diego fears that he cannot please her in bed. Probably the nicest way to say that. Will then makes sexual advances towards Sin, attempts to seduce Diego at the house. Now, at this point, again, I know this is not the kind of content we normally get here, but this is the kind of stuff that makes people, it kind of gets the buzz around. I heard a lot of buzz about people seeing Bone Lake. Oh, you got to see this thing. Oh my God, it's so good. I'm not saying it's bad or good right now. What I'm saying is, I think it's because there's so much sexual overtures and there's so much referring to acts and all that stuff throughout the whole film that some people, like, you know, it's so kind of taboo to them. They don't, you know, maybe talk about that stuff or as open about that stuff. So maybe that's one of the reasons why it kind of struck a chord with them. Honestly, there's nothing really here. There's really nothing here at this point. It's not like, oh my God, like you're like literally watching, you know, a full on like real sex scenes or anything crazy. But anyway, later that night, Sin proposes that she and Sage take some Molly together. Now, again, drug use in here. I understand that, but it's like, man, you're getting to stuff. Man, you're telling people stuff about you. You're taking drugs together. Like, it's just that all of this screams, no way Jay would be anywhere near this, because this is the anti-Jay kind of stuff. Anyway, later when Diego confronts Sage, she confesses she feigned taking the drugs, and she believes that Will and Sin are attempting to psychologically manipulate them and turn them against each other, which is the first thing in this movie. I was like, finally, good idea. Not to take the Molly and be, you know, try to keep your head, you know, on straight. But where are we here? And they against each other. To manipulate them against each other. Diego and Sage attempt to leave in their electric car. But again, electric cars not working here for you. But they discover the charger's been unplugged and the battery has only 6 miles of range left. Will confronts the two of them, claiming to Diego that he slept with Sage earlier. Sage denies it, and Diego attempts to back the car out of the driveway, only for him to be struck by Sin's vehicle. Now, that's probably one of the best scenes there. She plows into them in the other car. It's great. It's all CG, but it's great. Sage and Diego awaken in the house, bound with duct tape. Will and Sin reveal that they are, in fact, the Thomas and Alice Price, siblings of the preposterous publishing family. Purpose publishing family, not preposterous. That's preposterous. While teenagers, siblings began an incestuous relationship, and they murdered their parents. And when it was discovered, the two of them have been terrorized six different couples at the fatal the family estate, putting them through psychological mind games, testing their strength of relationship before killing them. Sage and Diego attempt to flee, and Sage is pursued by Sin, brandishing a butcher knife. Sage manages to strike Sin with a glass, cutting her face, before Will chases after her. Arming himself with an axe, Sage is confronted by Will, who challenges her to strike him in the head before taking control of the axe. Meanwhile, Diego hides under the boat dock while he stabs Sin through the foot, trapping her. Yeah, that scene hurts. The stabbing through the foot. See, the thing is, there's a lot of, like, stabby stabs in this movie. There, you know, kind of thing. And if you don't like the things getting stabby stabs, yeah, you're not going to like that stuff. Will, now armed with an electric chainsaw, because why not, attempts to kill Diego, but Sage strikes him through the head with the axe, killing him. Sage and Diego attempt to flee on a boat, where Sin attacks them. Diego strikes Sin in the head with an axe, dismembering with the axe. or hand, not head, excuse me, in the hand, that dismembering her fingers before she falls into the water and gets her hair caught in a propeller. Sage reverses the boat and engages the propeller, effectively killing Sid. Later, while floating on the lake, Diego removes his grandmother's ring from Sid's dismembered fingers and proposes to Sage, because why not? And the two of them laugh hysterically as they sails off in silence. They start off in silence. Anywho, yeah. So, like I said, this movie had a ton of buzz at the back half of 2025. A lot of people were saying that, like, it was the best horror movie of the year. People had said that they had never seen anything so violent. They'd never seen anything so, you know, like, how can movies like this, you know, make movies like, how can this kind of thing happen and whatever. Like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if it's because a lot of people don't watch a lot of movies, or maybe because they don't know their history, or a little of column A and a lot of column B. But I'm not sure what people are thinking. Again, it's not a bad film. I thought, you know, the horror elements were okay. You know, not a huge fan of drugs, but I understand their place in the movie. I think the amount of sexual content in here was, again, not, I'm certainly no prude, but like, okay. Like, I wasn't like, whoa, this is so titillating. Like it no. But you know, I mean, it had its place, and I guess if you are not used to seeing that kind of stuff on film, that it might be kind of a lot for you. You know, not in like, oh my God, I couldn't possibly handle it. But I think if you're kind of expecting it to be straight up horror, yeah, you don't get straight up horror here. This is not straight up horror at all. This is definitely psychological, kind of like, you know, thriller, with a lot of, you know, kind of nods to maybe some other kind of movies. You know, part of me thinks of movies like De Palma's Dressed to Kill is a movie that features a lot of sexuality in it. And you know, well, I don't want to give that movie. I mean, my movie's like 40 something years old, but still, it's a great film. But the whole thing is like that movie, you know, made by a master director with really good theming, and it hits on different notes. And it's not, I'm not saying those movies are the same, but that's a movie that had a lot of sexuality in it. A lot of like the idea of, Angie Dickinson's character, you know, wanting to be more sexually free, and, you know, what's her name? Nancy Allen's character being, you know, a sex worker, kind of thing. And you know, the whole movie never, you know, they're never shaming her for it, but she was in control of herself and felt confident and stuff. That's not what this is. But I think sometimes people forget that there are movies that have, you know, stronger themes to them than this. And I think what happens is you get, and you know, you get movies that come out and it's shocking. You know, this certainly is if like last year in 2025, you had seen like, I don't know, the new Conjuring movie, which I enjoyed, you know, this is far more, you know, got like a lot more like, pushing buttons in it, I'm sure, for a lot of people. Whereas that movie is much more about like, you know, it's the fourth movie in the franchise and all the other stuff, but you know, and I'm not saying there's anything better or worse about whatever. It's just, that's just not, you're not going to shock me with this stuff. It takes a lot to shock me nowadays. And maybe that's because I'm an old jaded man. But it takes quite a bit to shock me, for a movie. You know, I'm more surprised with the, with how people act in the really real world compared to like what's going to happen on film. And it's not to say that I can't watch a movie that I, you know, that I watch a movie and I enjoy it. Cause there are plenty of movies I enjoy. It's just, I don't know if this was the horror, that some people made it out to be. In the same token, if you listen to the Vault episode about Weapons, people had talked about how Weapons was so polarizing, and the horror is so deep, but it's so funny. And I'm like, and I'm wondering what movie they were watching. In that, like, I find no humor in a movie like Weapons, where I look at that movie and it bothers me as a parent, it bothers me as a teacher, it bothers me kind of as a human being, as some of the stuff that's happening. But it's a movie about a witch. Oh, sorry, spoiler, it's a movie about a witch, right? But it's a witch movie. Yeah. So yeah, it should. The whole idea is the corruption of these innocent souls and what's happening and all this other stuff, right? But I'm not sure what people you know, where they're coming from when they think this is the kind of movie that's like so, you know, earth-shatteringly defining for them. And I'm not saying, again, not saying you couldn't like it, because I enjoyed it. It's just, but I don't think it was as deep as some would say. I think Bone Lake falls in that category. I don't think it's as deep a movie as some people would like to make it out to be. It's fine. I watched it. I enjoyed watching it. It's not like all of a sudden I'm going to be, you know, sitting down to watch this again, but I might, you know, if it's on and I catch it, I might watch a little of it, because there are some really the stabbing through the foot, the glass to the face, the like the axe in the head, there's some pretty good kills in it. Again, it's not quite like, you know, old school, but it is what it is. Anyway, have you seen Bone Lake? Right? Did you see the poster where they have an R rating on the poster next to the word bone, but it's a very large R? See, I'm saying it this way, so if you have little ears, they don't hear that word there, but you can get it, because I know some of those dads out there are chuckling to themselves, and some of the moms, too. I'm not saying they're not, but I honestly don't know if any women actually listen to this. If you do, awesome, because I think it's just three people listening to this thing. Anyway, because that's about the level I think we're at. Anyway, so with that being said, if you haven't seen Bone Lake, it might be worth your time to check it out if you like that kind of stuff. If you're thinking like, this sounds like a pass, you know, kind of thing. I picked it up on Blu-ray I've got a Blu-ray. I don't think I got 4K or anything crazy. I might have, because nowadays they're all about the same price anyway. Because I like physical media, because guess what? It doesn't go away. Unless you lose it physically, you know, you still have it. So Netflix and all those places can't decide what you can and cannot watch. Anyway, so yeah, folks, so obviously, you know, we're kind of now into the 200s. I really hope that you all appreciated the last episode, our anniversary episode, which is very emotional for me, you know, kind of thing. It was the last episode that I currently have with my dad, you know, able to actually, you know, converse with me and be part of things the way they are. I told him that I was putting it out, when I was kind of putting it together, and he was like, oh, that's so great. You know, and I just want you all to know that, and everybody who's been so supportive and everything, he truly appreciates it. My family truly appreciates it. And we truly understand that, you know, this Bots, Bugs, and Babes, you know, kind of podcast, well, it's just a silly little thing, me talking about movies. You know, it actually means a lot to my dad, you know, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to people that we are all part of this all together. So anyway, thank you all for the support. Thank you for the downloads and listens. If you want to shoot me feedback, hit me up. I'll leave it on the air. I haven't got feedback in a while, so it's no big deal, but it's what it is, guys. So I don't know where we're going next. I got a bunch of movies I've kind of watched. I've watched some newer stuff from 2025. I was kind of banging through some films that I think may be worth talking about. And then I'm going to watch some older stuff, because, man, these 4Ks are sharp. And my TV looks good with a 4K on it. So I might be revisiting some older movies now, visiting them again in 4K. So anyway, folks, thank you for all the love and support. Thank you for everybody who's, you know, been part of this journey and who continues to be part of this journey, and for everything that goes to it. So like we say here, keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?